And good morning and welcome to Doing Windows. If you're just joining us for the first time, I'm Bill Sklodowski, and sitting immediately to my left,
I'm Doc, and even if you're not joining us for the first time, those are still our names. We're trained computer professionals.
Thank you.
And we're going to spend the next hour giving you a veritable plethora of tips to enhance your computing experience, whatever that means.
That's right. We're going to do our best to answer your questions either on the phone live or by email, and we'll be giving you all the numbers and email addresses, websites, and all that coming up in just a moment. Again, we thank you for joining us, and we invite you to spread the word, as it were, because, well, we're a new show, and we want to get the word out to as many people as possible because we know that so many people need our help. The easiest way to get us is by our toll-free number nationwide at 1-888-408-2787. Again, 1-888-408-2787. And I have to tell you that the research department at Doing Windows spent days trying to come up with a what would you call that? An acronym? A something,
mnemonic? Something.
Something to go with the number.
And?
We didn't.
Oh.
All we could come up with was 1-888-408-CRUP.
Oh, well, okay then.
CRUP, CRUP.
Start dialing now.
Which means absolutely nothing.
Isn't that a coffee maker or something?
I think it was at one point. So coming up through this hour, we just want you to know that coming up later on, we've got a trivia question and your chance to win a little bit of a prize here. You know, we always have to, you know, entice you to keep on listening. Computer news, trivia, just everything. Yes?
Yes. And how can they reach us by email?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. The email address is youguys@doingwindows.com. You guys.
Sounds easy enough. Like, hey, you guys.
Right? Hey, you guys. That's right.
Y-O-U-G-U-I-S, right?
At doingwindows.com. And in fact, we have a website, which is doingwindows.com. www.doingwindows.com.
Aptly named.
Thank you so much. And then, of course, the main body of the program, taking your phone calls and your emails, answering your questions as best we can. You feel like doing that?
Let's do it.
Let's go to the phone, and now I've received extensive training on using this telephone system, so if our producer, Hap, has been any good with teaching me how to use this, I'm going to click on this one, and we're going to pick up that phone, and I see we have Dwight on the line from Fort Myers. Dwight, yes?
Yeah, I'm here, finally.
Good morning. Well, we appreciate you waiting there. It's we've got a lot of phone calls to get to and a lot of people we want to try and help this morning, but we sure do appreciate it. What can we do for you?
My question is about you know, whether I should get cable or DSL or stay with the dial-up connection that I have.
Right, right. So right now you don't have any of those. I mean, you have internet, but it's through a dial-up connection?
Yeah, through AT&T.
Right. Now, when we say, we should tell folks that when we say dial-up connection, that means any way of connecting to the internet through any of those internet companies out there that uses the telephone line, which means like Earthlink or AOL or Juno or any of those things. Mm-hmm. And all of those connect by the telephone in your computer, and you know the line goes into the jack just like anything else. But for those who are lucky enough and who want to pay the fee, you have high-speed connections, right? And what are the two choices that they have?
The two mainstream choices, of course, are cable,
right?
The one that comes over your cable TV socket outlet from your cable company, or DSL, the one that comes over your phone line from the phone company.
Right. And they both cost about the same. They try and make them competitive with each other. So they're more than a dial-up connection. But for people who have a real need to be on the internet, and like this is what we had at my house, is we used to have two separate phone lines, and then I was paying for the dial-up connection as well. So, okay, it's a few more bucks, but it's close. So, Dwight, do you know... Oh, you still with us?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. See, your dial-up connection right now is a little fuzzy. Have you checked into where you live if both of the services are available?
Not exactly. I mean, I know cable's available.
Right, because you have cable.
I don't know if DSL is available or not.
Right, because DSL, due to limitations of the system, is not available everywhere. Mm-hmm. If you have cable TV, chances are good you have cable internet, obviously, available to you. What do you think, Doc? Any thoughts on that as to one being better than the other?
I'd say if cable's available, no-brainer. Take the cable.
And why do you say that?
Easy install,
uh-huh.
And it's a little faster for the same money,
mm-hmm.
And you don't have to deal with the phone company.
Well, now, do I still have to have a phone connection if I have cable?
No. The cable modem, which really isn't even a modem, it's a kind of a network connector, but that's not important. The modem that you get, you'll get a separate piece of hardware either from the cable company, or they'll have you go to Circuit City, Best Buy, Office Depot, one of those places, and buy another piece of hardware. called a cable modem, and then they send you or you buy a self-installation kit, which basically means you put the CD in the machine, you run it, and it installs some software for you, and then you plug everything in, and it gives you a little diagram, and away you go. So you're going to have that. I mean, there's some additional stuff you're going to need to get, but it's real easy to do.
Do I have to take the top off the machine and put it inside, or is it you know what I'm trying to say, the little quick plug-in thing that you do?
If you go with cable, cable connects either way. If you have one of those network cards already in the machine, you just plug it in the back. If you don't, cable modems also let you hook them up by USB ports, universal serial bus, and just about any machine has that nowadays.
Right.
So that makes for an easy install as well. The nice thing is that without needing a phone line, which with taxes and fees, even if you have a no-feature separate line, that's going to run you about $23 a month, and internet service is about $22 a month. For the same amount of money for a month, you can have the cable internet service, get rid of the old dial-up provider and the second phone line, and have internet that's always on, no logging in, and it's only going to be about 50 to 100 times faster than you're getting right now.
Right. Okay. The real thing is the speed. I mean, like most people, you know, I'm sure you're on the internet now, and when you click on a website or something, it's like, all right, I've clicked on it. I can go get a sandwich now and come back, and it'll still be going to that web page, you know?
Yeah, because at work I'm on a T1 line, and it's really...
There's a propeller head term right there for you, folks.
That means very, very fast.
Yeah, if you don't know what T1 line means, that just means a very, 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 very high-speed connection to the internet, which we don't have at home yet.
But cable, you know, is about that fast.
Cable is very fast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for those of you who are used to working on the internet at the office and it's very fast and then you get home and you feel like, gosh, I can feel the gray hair is, you know, growing as I'm, you know, as I'm waiting for this stuff. Yeah, it's going to be a noticeable, huge increase in the speed, and that's really what makes it worth getting. So really, our answer is if you have the availability of a cable modem there, and I know that's where you were asking cable versus DSL. We like the cable simply because it is always on. We find that it's a little more reliable. And it's a little faster than the DSL as well. Now, you may be swayed by maybe the phone companies having a special or something like that. I don't know. But that's just what we like.
Okay.
All righty.
All right.
Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
You guys have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Bye. Bill and Doc here with you this morning. Give us a call toll-free from anywhere. 1-888-408-2787. That's 1-888-408-CRUP. No, we're not going to use that. It's just too stupid.
I like it.
Yeah, I thought you would. Again, the number 1-888-408-2787. And we invite your phone calls and your emails. And we are going to, in fact, talk to somebody right now. We've got Bob on the line from Cape Coral. Let's click on him and talk to Bob. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for joining us this morning. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Okay. What's your question for us?
Well, I've got DSL at home.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, I've got a firewall, too. I was wondering, do I need antivirus as well?
Antivirus software, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, great question. Really a good question. First, Doc, for those, because, again, we want to keep it, you know, as simple as possible for folks, what's a firewall, by golly?
That's a piece of software that's either running in your computer or in a little box attached to your machine if you have a thing called a router. And it kind of makes your machine invisible to the outside world on the internet so that no one can see their way into your machine.
Why is that important?
Well, there's a lot of evil folks out there, unfortunately, who look for always-on internet connections, and a connection like DSL or cable is always on. It's always connected to your machine when your machine is running.
Right.
So you don't want those folks poking around and finding stuff like your files, your passwords, your data. Not a good thing.
Right.
This so-called firewall keeps them out by making your machine invisible to the outside world. So you can get out. You can receive email and all the usual stuff and talk with websites, but individuals who don't belong in your machine won't get in there. That's what the firewall does.
And we should say that if you have, again, the newest version of Windows, which is Windows XP, either Home or Pro, doesn't matter what version, that there is a built-in firewall in Windows that comes as standard equipment. You know, you don't have to pay extra for it. You don't have to buy another one. But so now the question becomes, I got that. Do I also need antivirus software?
And to that, the answer is definitively, absolutely yes, definitely, because the firewall issue has nothing to do with the virus issue.
Okay, so it's two things.
Yeah, explain the viruses to them.
Well, it's really two different animals, like Dave was saying. You want your computer to first be invisible on the internet so that the bad guys can't get in, steal your stuff, send you viruses without you knowing, that sort of thing. But that firewall doesn't cover you, Bob, as far as your emails that you have coming and things like that, because if you get an infected email and you allow it into your computer, you know, it gets past the firewall, then it can still damage your computer and your data and your stuff when you get it to your inbox and you open it and you open an attachment or something like that, and whammo, you have a virus. So you still have to have both. And we're really not in the business of recommending particular brands, but a couple that we like.
My favorite, Norton Antivirus, the current version being 2004. It's like $50, and
right.
It's a very important thing. Again, no one should ever be computing without antivirus software today.
Yeah. Now, Bob, your computer, is it relatively new?
Yeah, it was purchased last, November.
So it probably came with some antivirus software already on it, like a demo version or
Yeah, it had a trial.
Right.
And I mean, how much of that should I know that they look for a monthly to subscribe to antivirus.
Right.
How much did that cost me if with something like Norton?
Right. Well, typically when you buy a new computer, it's going to come with, like you said, a trial version or a something like that that lasts for
3 months.
3 months.
Introductory subscription, they
call it.
Right,
a short period of time. And then after that, it's going to nag you and say, hey, you're not up to date or you're not being protected or whatever. And typically, what does it cost to update it from there?
To renew for another year, and it's a year-at-a-time renewal, is currently $24.95. Use your credit card online, and you definitely want to renew the subscription. It's very, very important to keep that machine protected at all times.
And it's absolutely the best $24.95 you will spend in terms of protecting your computer and making sure it doesn't, you know, get messed up. Now, if you don't have that, or if it was a brand name that you didn't know or recognize or something, you can still go out and buy a new one. You can go to any of the retailers or online or whatever and buy a new version. But that's up to you. So.
Right. But you definitely want to make sure if you do that, you uninstall the old antivirus first, restart Windows, put the new one in. It's not. It's a case of if one is good,
yeah.
Two is not better.
Two is not
only
better.
Only one. And right now, you know, there's over 65,000 known viruses out there waiting to kill your machine. So it's really important. And just as important is practicing our rules of safe computing.
Yeah.
Because antivirus software only protects you against known viruses.
Bob, does that answer your question?
Yeah. That's really, really helpful.
Okay, great. We appreciate your call.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling Doing Windows. And once again, our phone number, by the way, on that, 1-888-408-2787. And you brought up a fabulous point, and that is practicing safe computing. And I know for a fact that you have four rules?
Right, the rules of safe computing.
The rules of safe computing. Why don't you share those with us?
Sure enough. Well, first, of course, you want to keep the antivirus software up to date and keep it running at all times.
Yeah.
Now, most of today's nasty viruses come from email messages. They're attachments to email messages.
Mm-hmm.
Either you see a paperclip, or if you're running something like AOL or CompuServe, you get a little prompt to download an attachment. Do not download or open any attachment at all, no matter who it's from, unless you can answer all of the following four questions with a definitive yes. Number one, do I know who the email message is from?
Oh, sure. I always see who it's from.
Okay. That's the one you usually know.
Okay.
And if you don't, right away, that's a no.
Okay.
Number two, do I know what the email attachment is? Do I know what it is? Number three, do I know what the attachment does?
Mm.
Usually we don't know that, right?
No.
And number four, did the sender create the attachment?
Okay, now I'm going to ask you about all of the. Well, the first one is easy. Do I know who sent it to me? Obviously, I can see in the little sender line there, it's going to say, okay, this is from Doc, and I know Doc, and okay, I'm going to open that. Now, when you say, do I know what the attachment is, how do I know that? How do I find that out?
Well, to find out what it is, and number three, what it does, you're
right.
Hoping that the sender was nice enough to say in the body of the email, hey, Bill, I am sending you this photo that I took with my digital camera, photo1.jpg.
Right.
Now you know what it is.
Right.
And when you look at it, you'll see a picture of the kids at the pool. In that case, you now know what it does.
Okay.
If it's a program, I might say, Bill, attached to this email message is a program called so-and-so, and what it does is it's a great MP3 player that you really like on your machine.
Right.
And I have it on my machine.
So in other words, I'm counting on the goodness of my friend who sent me this mail to tell me in advance what the thing is that they're sending me.
And what it does, right.
So in other words, that's a good thing for you to remember as a sender of emails, that if you're sending an email to somebody, that you should explain to them what it is you're sending and what it will do when it gets to their computer.
If it's an attachment. Obviously, if it's just text,
right.
You're not going to worry about it. It's just text. We're
right.
Talking
if
about
just,
attachments.
If I'm just typing a quick message to somebody, then no big deal. Okay, an email message is a message, and it's not going to hurt your computer. But right, if I'm sending an attachment, then they need to know from me. I, as the sender, have to be responsible enough to tell them what it is and what it does.
Right. And then, of course, that last one there, did the sender create the attachment? If you see FW or FWD, meaning forwarded,
right,
in the message line, that rules out number four right away. The sender didn't create it. They passed it on to you.
Right.
Usually it's in the form of a joke.
Right.
Hey, you sent it. A friend sent it. This reminds me of what we learned in school about if you don't know where it's been, right? Mama, you know, someone taught you about this kind of thing.
That's right.
You don't want to go, you know what. So if it's forwarded, that rules out question four. The sender didn't create it. By golly, never, right, ever under any circumstances open a message if question four fails. So you got four questions to ask. I'm not sure equals no.
Okay, all so right? If I'm not sure,
that's a no.
That's a no.
And if any of them are no, you're not going to open that attachment. Now, you might send an email back to the sender. Hey, Bill, you sent me this file. Could you please tell me what it is and what it does? Obviously, though, if it was forwarded, don't waste your time doing that. That's not a safe attachment.
Okay.
A lot of times these jokes get passed all around.
Yeah.
And the joke is on you because you open the thing up and blam, that may be the last thing you'll do on your computer. Not fun. People who forward stuff, who forward attachments blatantly,
yeah,
there are angels of mercy. They put food on our table. In fact, if everyone followed all those rules, we would probably go broke.
We should say that, you know, people like Doc and I actually go out and help people with their computers, and we'll tell you more about that later. But yes, those are the people that actually keep us fed because they have not followed the rules, and therefore they have problems, and therefore they're calling technicians, whether it be me or Doc or anybody else, to say, please come fix my computer.
Yep.
So we have to go, oh, got another one.
There you go.
Okay. 1-888-408-2787 is our phone number if you'd like to call us on Doing Windows. If you'd like to send us an email, we invite you to do that at youguys@doingwindows.com. And you can always visit us online, of course, at doingwindows.com. Phone is still ringing. The phones have just been great today. I want to thank all of our phone callers for our show today. They're really helping out a lot. And let's go to the next one while we have a moment. Barbara's with us from Fort Myers. Barb, are you there?
I am.
Thank you for calling this morning. We appreciate it. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question about surge protection on my computer with the electrical storms and such.
Oh, sure.
That we have. I've heard some of those little strip things aren't necessarily going to do it for you, so do I need to spend big bucks to get serious protection? Or
okay. No, that's a great question. That's a really good question. Because, obviously, in Southwest Florida and a lot of other places, gee, like, the lights never go out in New York, right?
You know?
So the question, as I understand it, do you have a little power strip on your thing now? Or
I do.
Okay. And you're wondering if that's enough.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think?
What did you pay for it?
$24.99
on sale, or
on sale? Yeah, no, on sale. What a deal! Why do you ask what you paid for it?
You know, there's a lot of different models. In fact, companies make lots of different models, from the very cheap to the very expensive.
Right.
Kind of unscientific rule of thumb.
Unscientific.
If the list price is about $40,
yeah,
that's probably the one you want. Seriously. Because more than that's kind of a waste.
Uh-huh.
Less than that may not be enough protection.
Uh-huh.
And you definitely want to have surge protection. There's no question, because when you have thunderstorms and lightning,
yeah,
you get often a power line gets hit directly or indirectly, or lightning hits near your house, and wham, a huge jolt of electricity comes through the electric line or through the telephone line.
Yeah, that's important.
See?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second, yeah, too, that you have to protect both. The surge protector should, I mean, do you plug everything into it? Cause is that going to be bad if I have like six or eight plugs now trying to run off of one power source?
No, in fact, most protectors have like six or eight,
yeah,
sockets on them. In fact, usually two of them are separated from the others. So if you have those big transformer bulky things,
right,
there's room to do that without having to resort to extension cords.
Gotcha.
And it also has phone jacks in it. So instead of wiring the modem directly, you know, from the phone line, wire from the wall to the modem, which is a bad thing,
right,
you go to the protector, kind of like with the plugs, and then they give you an extra phone wire, oh, how courteous,
yeah,
to go from the other phone jack back into where the modem connects in your computer. Because you have to have everything that's basically in or attached to that machine has to be protected. Very important.
How are we doing there, Barb? Does that sound, I mean, do you...
Well, suppose you have, like, your speakers have a separate
power
source.
Yeah.
The speakers get plugged in the wall, so that those need to be plugged into the power jack, too?
Yes.
Yeah. I think the best advice we can give you there is everything.
Anything that hooks up to that computer, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, like Lee County Electric Co-op sent this flash thing over, and it was like a couple of $100, so you don't need to spend the big bucks.
Mm.
Well, are you talking about the whole house protection?
I guess that's what it was.
They have that. They have a program where they'll wire a master surge protector onto your house, and that is a good thing because it'll also protect things like your microwave, refrigerator, television.
I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. So, you know, that's good. The other nice thing about a surge protector, even if you don't already have whole house surge protection, is many of them offer little warranties that if something is hooked up to them and blows out, you may be able to get some money back to help you buy a new system as long as you're using their protector. So it's a good idea if you have whole house surge protection from the electric company, then you may not need that, but you certainly want to protect the phone line in any event. So even if all you did is buy one and just hook up the telephone line, that was worth the price of admission if you're not using cable or DSL.
Right, because remember, Barb, if you have the whole house thing, that's just for electric. And if your phone line gets zapped, you know, if the lightning hits the phone line, you know, three blocks over, that electricity is going to surge through the telephone line, which does not come through your house power. And that's another way that computers can get zapped is through the telephone. And again, like Doc says, that's only if you're using a phone line to connect. If you have a cable modem, then that's a whole other matter.
Right.
That can happen even if the computer's not on.
Can it happen if the computer's on?
And the answer is yes.
Uh-huh.
Because even when they're turned off, there's still voltages being used in the computer to do certain little functions. So there's a little trickle of electricity in them. And, yeah, they're live. Even a printer, a scanner is going to be live to some degree. Not using a whole bunch of juice, but enough. So, yeah, it definitely could happen when they're turned off. Now, when you're out of town, if you're leaving during thunderstorm season, then you can just pull the protector out of the wall and pull the phone line out. Then you have 100% protection
at
all times.
That was going to be my next question, is if I'm going to be away, should I pull the plug out of the wall?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
It can't hurt any.
Right.
Because if your house is hit directly by electricity, let's face it, no surge protector. If a lightning hits your roof, that'll be the least of your problems.
That's right. Well, great. Are we helping you out there, Barb?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay.
So, but the battery and the computer won't lose time or anything if it's not plugged in for a couple weeks?
No, the computer has a little battery, a little tiny watch battery inside of it that keeps time all by itself.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're fine with that.
Good.
Great. Thanks
very
for the call.
Good. Thank you.
We appreciate it very much.
Appreciate the information.
Okay,
alrighty.
Bye-bye. Our phone number this morning, as it is every morning, 1-888-408-2787, if you feel the need to call. And we'd love to hear from you this morning with any kind of computer question. And we'll be getting to more of those in just a moment. We're going to have our trivia question, as we do every week, your chance to win fabulous prizes. The way you answer it is by going to doingwindows.com. You find the homepage there for this program. There'll be a little button where you can answer the trivia question. That'll send us a little email, and then we will pick from all the correct answers. Next week, we'll pick our winner, and we'll announce our winner next week. So what do you got for us?
All right, this one has to do with things you hook up to computers, also known as peripherals is a big word.
Ooh. There's a buzzword this week.
That's right. Things you hook up to computers, okay?
I'm ready.
All right, we want to know, which thing you hook up to a computer has by far the oldest design of anything that you hook up to a computer?
The oldest design?
Design. In other words, this thing was designed, basically we want to know by whom and when and what is the device that you hook up to a computer. It's very common.
Oh.
Every computer has one. Here's a clue.
Every computer has one. Oh. So it's not some new fancy Johnny-come-lately toy that I might have just bought this week.
Probably not.
I understand. Right?
Every
now.
Computer has one, so we want to know what is it. Who designed it?
Oh.
And when? And close. I mean, if you're within a year or two, we'll give it to you. If you spell the guy's name wrong, we'll give it to you also.
I'm tempted to say this might be something you could do a little research. I mean, if you had an inkling of what it might be, you could probably do a little research on the web and maybe find out.
Yeah, but, you know,
I'm just guessing.
You could do that, but you could cheat. See, cheating is not fun.
I'm not suggesting that people cheat.
In this day of instant gratification, of Googling things, you could find. We want to know that you absolutely actually know this on your own. Won't you feel better about yourself if you really know it and answer the question?
I think winning overrides all of that.
Ah, figures. Well, there you go. That's our trivia question. Bill?
1-888-408-2787 is our phone number. Our email address is youguys@doingwindows.com. And in fact, we have an email question coming up, and we'll check that in a moment. You can also check in at that website at doingwindows.com to answer our trivia question, as we said, to submit your questions to use on the program, and for lots of other fun stuff as well. In fact, as the show grows, we'll be adding more things to it. So we invite you to check back often, as they say.
Yes. And speaking of doing Windows, Bill, an email has just popped up. Ah.
Well, now, you might be wondering why I'm rustling.
Yes, yeah, why
you might be wondering
paper.
Why I'm rustling paper with an email. It's because I admit that sometimes I just have to have the hard copy. You know, you just got to have it printed out in front of you so you know what you're looking
Being
at.
Being both a trained computer professional and a seasoned radio guy, right?
And having bad eyes both of them.
I knew it, yeah.
All right, so this is Carol in Punta Gorda, and Carol writes, just like a lot of other people, I keep getting all sorts of weird, unsolicited, and frankly, annoying email messages. Spam on my computer. What can I do? Importantly, on a lot of them, I see this little message at the bottom of the message that says, if you'd like to unsubscribe to this list, just click here and, you know, type unsubscribe when the message comes up. Should I do that? Love, Carol in Punta Gorda. So there you go.
She said love?
Well, it was just a signature line. She might have just signed it that way.
Oh.
So, but her question is a good one. And obviously, spam, junk mail in your email box is a huge, huge problem. And sometimes I see that too, and I'm tempted. At the bottom, it'll say if you want to unsubscribe, if you don't want to get this anymore. Should I do that?
In a word, no.
No, in a word. Okay. And yeah. Why not?
Well, a lot of times the spammer, people who send spam,
yes,
will send these literally millions at a time, not knowing if there's a live address. They'll just pick random addresses at different domains, the domain being at CompuServe.com,
right,
at AOL.com, whatever, not knowing if there's a live one on the other side. So what happens is when you click there, it's like, hey, we got ourselves a live sucker. Let's sell that name to everybody on the planet.
So you mean to tell me that they're actually, when it says unsubscribe, they're actually turning around and making use of that address?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's just mean.
Yes, it is. It's immoral, but it's legal.
Well, that's simply because there aren't really any legal, restrictions on email, are there?
Pretty much no.
At this point, anyway.
Right, right.
So what can we do? I mean, I know there's lots of software out there that says it catches spam before it gets to you and lots of things like that. Is there any one particular thing that you like or that you would recommend to folks to try and keep the junk out of your email box?
Well, spam filters is the class of programs you were mentioning. There
right.
are several out there. You know, the best thing on that is unless you have a favorite, I'd say ask your friends and see which ones they seem to like, because sometimes spam filters will let too much through.
Right.
But on other times, they may not let things through that you kind of aren't spam, and you have to work with them for a while to train them as to who's friends and who's foe.
Right, right.
So I don't have any particular favorite unless you do.
Well, I was going to say I use one that's called Curb, and it's spelled with a Q, QURB.com. I mean, you can go to their website at www.QURB.com. And really, it's very simple because the only thing it does is it remembers all of the people that I have in my address list, you know, in my address book. And if the email message comes from somebody who's already in my address book, it automatically lets it through. It doesn't care. It doesn't, you know, matter what the message is. And if it's not in my email address book, then it sends it off to a certain little quarantine area. And then it reminds me every day or so, hey, you got 20 messages in your quarantine area. Do you want to look at them? And then I can scan the whole list of junk, and 99 times out of 100, it's junk, 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 junk. But then I'll get that one, like, you know, if you send me something from a new email address, or if a friend should send me something that I just, for some reason, didn't have them in my address book. And I'll go, oh, there's somebody I wanted to get that email. So I just click on it or put a check mark on it or something like that. And then automatically they get added to my address book, so they're approved next time. So you really only have to do that once. So I've been using that one. I'm not selling it. I don't have any financial connection to it or anything. But it's out there, and you can download a free trial. And it's, you know, worth a try.
Well, Bill Gates, if you're listening, and I think you are because I know you're going to be on the program next week.
Bill, wait, stop.
What?
Bill Gates is going to be on the program?
I think so.
You think so?
I think.
Okay.
I'm sure he might be.
Oh, he might be.
I'm sure he might be. Bill, if you're listening, here's the software we want you to write next.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
This is what we want. When you get spam and you get it, there are some of those fake return addresses. I mean, they're never real.
Right.
And you see them and you just want to do something to feel better and get even with them.
Right.
Make some software that if I hit a certain button, it'll go back to the originator's machine and make it blow up. Can you do that, Bill? That's what I'm buying.
That's a spam eliminator of the first degree,
absolutely.
Right?
Stop it at the source. That's what I always say. So maybe when Bill's on next week, he'll tell us about that.
When Bill's on. I'm sure you're right.
Next week.
So there's your – so to answer your email question, by the way, the one we just had there from Carol, don't – reply to those things that say unsubscribe, click here. Don't ever do that, okay? Get yourself a good program that you can train, because there's kind of a training process there of learning how to use the spam filter, and it has to know who you want to talk to and who you don't. And then some of them are also customizable to where you can say, all right, if you see a certain word anywhere in the message, in the body of the message, in the header, in the subject line, in the whatever, you know, if you see the word enlarge.
And I want to know how they know I need that. Okay?
I don't want to ever see that email. So just automatically trash any email with that word in it somewhere. So that's something you can do, too. You can train a program to respond that way, right?
Absolutely. And I want to tell spammers I do not need breast implants. Okay, just I don't need them. Stop sending me that mail.
1-888-408-2787 is our phone number if you'd like to call us on Doing Windows. If you'd like to send us an email, we invite you to do that at youguys@doingwindows.com. And you can always visit us online, of course, at doingwindows.com. Right now, we're going to continue with phone calls, I assume. Kitty, good morning.
Hello.
Oh, she's there.
Yes, I am.
Now, Kitty, is that short for something?
It's short for Kitty.
As in, Kitty. Not Catherine or anything?
It's just
no,
Kitty.
No, it's short for Kitty.
Okay.
Kitty
okay.
For Kitty.
All right, my feline friend. And what's up?
Here's my issue. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much a technical question as it is like an etiquette thing.
Mm.
Now, I know that there is computer etiquette. You know, I go online, I do my emails, I do all that. I'm not a propeller head.
Good.
But I'm married, got kids. We have a computer at the house, but it's getting a little long in the tooth. So my husband decided he's going to go out and get a new one. So he gets this really nice new, all the bells and whistles, Dell unit.
Sure.
Brings it in. Won't let me use it.
Oh.
Wants me to use the old one with the kids, but will not let me use the new one. What is the computer etiquette on that?
Oh,
I want
my.
You to enhance my computing experience. Get me into this computer. What is up with that, with guys and that?
You know, there couldn't be an easier question to answer.
I'm so glad you've got an answer for her.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's this simple. Bill, you're married.
Yes.
I'm married.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you guys do this to your wives?
No way. In fact,
all right,
the way it works in our house, and I'm sure yours too, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right?
That's right.
Okay, so this is really simple. Kitty.
Yeah.
The husband always lets the wife have first dibs on the new machine, period.
Oh, really? I mean,
absolutely.
Wow.
This isn't even in your house?
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I'm just surprised you would put that out on the table like that.
I'm a happily married man. How do you think I got that way?
By letting the wife use the good computer.
Absolutely.
I see.
We have our old, just like Kitty was saying, the old long in the tooth hand-me-downs.
Sure, sure.
Those, you know, crumbling machines made from prehistoric parts.
Yes.
Hey, I can get along fine with that because the new machine rolls in. It's a nice new notebook machine.
Right.
She looks at it and goes, ooh.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's wireless, so she could use it, you know,
sure,
anywhere. And immediately, well, obviously you got this for me right there. And I just looked and nodded my head and said, why, of course.
I guess, Kitty, what he's saying is that you just need to appeal to his sense of preserving marital bliss. And just saying, look, if, you know, you want this to be a happy house, we just have to share a little more here.
Okay. But if that doesn't work, is there a way that I can, like, go, because he's got it in his office at the house, is there a way that I can just go in there and use it and delete everything that I did so that he doesn't know that I was using it?
Good question. Now, this is a new machine, so we are going to assume that it comes with the new version of Windows, which is Windows XP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the magic word for you is user account. So you want him and you to establish separate accounts on this computer so that when it first boots up, there'll be a couple of little startup icons that says, you know, hubby and kitty, and then you can just click on your own account, and then you have your own favorites, your own wallpaper, your own documents, your own everything, and
he can password protect it.
You could password protect it, and he has all his own stuff, and never the two shall meet.
But can I hide my account so that he doesn't see it?
Well, you can't. No, you can't hide it. But you can password protect it so that he can't get into it, so that he knows you're there, but he just doesn't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Okay.
I think that's the best we can do.
And
for
then,
that.
You know, if you're both at home at the same time and you're going to fight over it, well, let him use the old one for a while and see what it's like. You know? He's been using it this whole time.
Yeah.
So, that's true, but he's all spoiled now, and he's not wanting to share.
I know, that happens a lot, you know. Well, you know, I think it boils down to it's a guy TV clicker kind of thing. I don't know if therapy might help. I don't know.
Counseling, you know. Counseling. Dr. Phil, maybe, you know.
Yeah, go online to Dr. Phil. That's what I'll do.
There you go. Sharing issues. That's right. It's just like teaching little kids to share. Not that you're not a little kid. We're not saying that.
He's a guy.
Right, know. Right, right. We understand.
Yeah, and I like Bill's idea of if you remind your husband in some gentle, maybe subtle ways that right. marital bliss is the key. I'm sure you'll be using that machine in no time.
Okay, I hope so, guys.
All right, Kitty.
I really hope so.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
You're listening to Doing Windows, and we sure appreciate it. If you'd like to give us a call, we're about out of time for this hour this morning. Oh, in fact, listen to there. We're out of time for this morning. Call us next week at 1-888-408-2787. Contact us by email at youguys@doingwindows.com.
That's right. And our producer is the infamous Hap.
Music by Bob Gallo. We do want to remind you that no computers were actually harmed in the production of today's program, so don't worry about that.
And we'll see you next week on Doing Windows.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.